Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Why don't you go ahead and turn to your Bibles? Turn to Matthew 22, 37 through 38. I will do my best to make it through this, and hopefully you can. This can really encourage you in your journey and your direction and help you in your walk with God. Well, the message tonight is going to be about the most important assignment that you and I have in Christ. And I got to tell you that sometimes we can get so sidetracked by doing so much and so many things that we miss our most important assignment by God for each and every one of us, okay? And you want to know that, right? Before doing anything, what's the most important assignment that I have with God? And your most important assignment with God is loving Him, learning to love Him. And you say, man, I hear that all the time. Well, are you able to do it and function in it? And I want to talk about that love tonight. And also, sometimes, you know, we think that I've got to be doing these big things to show my love for God. It's in the small things, the very small things, that you can show your love for the Lord. So when you turn to that scripture, let's look at it real quick. Many of you know it, probably memorized it. Jesus said, he said to him, this was a lawyer that was speaking to Jesus. He said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Thinking that he would catch Jesus. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now this is the greatest, and the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty amazing. That is the most important assignment that you and I have. Listen to what I'm about to say regarding this. If we think that our love is weak toward God and insignificant, we're wrong. If we have just a little bit of love toward the Lord in any area of our life, in any good thing that we would do on a daily basis, it truly moves the heart of God. And many times, again, we think we have to do big things for God, for Him to love us. No. We can express each and every day, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, we can express our love for Him. And we can do it in simple ways. I always talk about a cup of cool water given in the name of Jesus. It means so much to God that when your heart begins to reach out and do something for somebody. And what the enemy tries to do is to make you think that what you're doing is insignificant. It doesn't matter. Man, if I was a big-time worshiper, then I would be able to really show God my love. Man, if I could heal people in the name of Jesus, that would be a way of showing my love. Oh, if I could just be this teacher and da-da-da. It goes on and on and on. Those are awesome things that you can do. But God loves you right in the simple, right in the mundane. And that's what we need to get about the Lord. The Lord is okay with where you are loving Him. He knows it's a journey. He knows that it takes time. It's a process. So I want you tonight to not beat yourself up ever again about your lack of love. But I want you to begin to give what you have to Him on a daily basis. No matter how simple it is, or to someone, and to know that it moves the heart of God. It moves His heart when you show that kind of love. Think about Jesus, guys and gals. Think about it. 30 years He's on the face of the planet. 30 years. And He was functioning a lot in the mundane, wasn't He? What you would think. But God Himself was able to be on this earth for 30 years as a carpenter and living in a family and doing things 30 years before He broke out into the fulfillment of what He was called to do. Maybe some of you have been wrestling for 16 years, 20 years, 30 years in your calling. Maybe you just started. God wants you to know that you move His heart when you show him your love for him. Even in the small things. If it was good enough for God for 30 years, it's good enough for us sometimes to just be able to be okay in the mundane. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like, oh, this pressure that I got to do this and be like this person. No, you have to be exactly who God called you to be, not like somebody else. He loves you just exactly how you are. Oh, you don't know my sinful life. He loves you. His love is to help you through that and get into the place of victory. His grace is there for you so that you can fulfill your calling. Not to continually live in compromise, but to live in obedience to the Lord and the fulfillment. Now, how do you do that? How do you get there? Well, it's through the love of God. If you don't feel the love of God, experience the love of God, and really allow the love of God to move out through you, you're not going to have much of a desire to fulfill your destiny. And you might start fulfilling someone else's destiny or coming up under some kind of religious control to fulfill something else that's really not who you're called to be. Are you with me? Do you hear what I'm saying? My heart, more than anything, is for you to know the love of God and to experience it and to move in your calling and your destiny, what He has for you. When you're in the love of God, you don't really have an excuse anymore. Your excuse is just thrown out because this love is just overwhelming you about who you are in Him. You don't need the affirmation of man. And the fear of man cannot control you because the love of God has apprehended you. And now you're in a place of reckless abandonment onto the things of the Lord. How many of you want to get into a place of reckless abandonment? Amen. And you know what it might be? It might just be getting up in the morning, taking a walk in the woods and seeking God. And all of a sudden God starts moving in your life and things start changing. It may be a run. It may be something where you begin to minister to somebody that needs help. We need to get out of any kind of container and get into the reckless, radical, crazy, loving way of God. How magnificent it is and how simple it is. How simple it is. If there's anything I can get to you tonight, it's this. That when you, again, I'm a cup of cool water man. When you give a cup of cool water in His name to anybody, it messes him up. I had somebody today say, hey, you know, I realized you were trying to, you know, really kind of work on your message, so I just felt like the Lord wanted me to, you know, I need to leave and leave you alone so you can work on your message because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't bothering you. And I said to that person, I said, you know how amazing that is? He's like, what? You know how amazing that is? That you would consider that I needed to be alone to be with the Lord. So you were going to give me that time. And even though you think there was nothing to that, guess what that was? That was an eternal reward that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Because someone wanted to do a kind thing for the Lord and to help somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. It is that simple. It's that simple. It's that simple. You walk out of this mall, you walk out into that hallway, and you go and do something from love, not to be seen, to do something for somebody. Doesn't matter if they're saved or they're not. God sees it, He records it, and He says, yes, that's my man, that's my gal. They're doing it. They're doing it. Oh, I've got to be seen. No, you don't. Matter of fact, you're better off not being seen. I've got much more accountability before the Lord right now because I'm standing up here speaking to you. I really did like when it was just a few of us. It was easier on me. Nobody shows up next Tuesday, no. I don't mean that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know that you get into this place of love that you don't draw attention to yourself, but your love is just manifesting before God. And this scripture is so powerful. It's so powerful. You need to just go over that over. It's like I've heard that forever. I love the 41 through 45, but I won't go in there because Jesus tears them up, which is cool. He gets them. They don't the next few verses, they don't ask him another question the whole time he's on the planet because they know, oh, no. Who knows where I'm at here? Okay, again, If you think that your love is weak, you begin to draw back. Don't draw back. Move forward in the ways of God, how He views it. Get His perspective on how He views weak and broken people. Weak and broken people are the people that He uses. It's really true. You know, there's some people probably in here that are real hidden in the Lord that are going to be spiritual heavyweights in the days to come. And they're just sitting back, praying, seeking God. And then there's some that think, I'm going to be a spiritual heavyweight. And God said, oh, I got a lot to do with you. Because there's a lot of dying, you know, to be able to live. If there's anything that manifests itself in the body of Christ and really hurts us more than anything, there's probably many things, but one of the biggest things, it's the invalidation and the insecurity of men and women. It's when we're so insecure and invalidated, and we think that we have to arise to this place. There is nothing wrong with being victorious and having things and doing things. But if you've missed your number one assignment, you really haven't accomplished much at all. Here's another one. When you do attain things and you're doing really well, and you see sometimes weak and broken people, and you look down and thinking, man, they're not where they need to be. How do you know that? Amen. Maybe they're exactly where they need to be. Maybe they're shaking and moving things all around us. The point that I'm making is, if you're going to love people as you love yourself, number one, you've got to find love for yourself and begin to love who you are. And you begin to love who you are when you begin to allow God to love you no matter where you are. And then you can begin to love others. And so it's so important to know the love of God. The number one assignment in every person's life in this room is to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love their neighbors, their self. But I got to do this. Well, He'll let you do those things. But in the process, His desire is for you to be a lover. Don't despise the smallness. Don't disregard it. Because it's not powerful enough for you. God fills it when you love. Our small love moves God's heart in a powerful way. And it's real. And let me just say this. Weak love is not false love. What am I saying with weak love? Man, if you can just get 5 minutes and say, oh, Lord, I really love You. I really wanted to pull away. I just love You and I thank You. Man, I don't understand a whole lot about You. But thank You so much for doing what You've done. And thank You for loving me. I should be dead right now, but I'm alive. I should be on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. Because of what? Because of love. It's love. New ways of worshiping, new ways of doing this. Well, this is what's happening now. This is what's happening now. Okay. But it all comes back to love. And you know if there's love in your heart, or if there's bitterness in your heart, if there's anger in your heart, if there's regret, you're living in regret. Don't live in regret. I don't want to be on a rocking chair on the front porch living in regret, do you? Oh, what I should have, could have, would have done. I want to be able to say no. Man, I kept going. There was times I thought I was out, I was done, but the Lord just strengthened me again, and I kept saying yes. My yes was so little and weak, but yet He kept hearing it, and He said, you can do it. I want all of you tonight to just say yes to Him about His will for your life and about His love for you. I want you to be awakened in the middle of the night and overwhelmed, not with fear, but with love. Oh, how awesome it is to live in His love. Remember, it moves God's heart. Okay, I won't say a cup of cold water again. Yeah. But it's a reward. God is also not asking for immediate maturity in your life and love. He wants you to start where you're at. It takes time. Okay? He's not asking for immediate maturity and love. He understands the process. But He wants you to love Him. He wants you to love Him in the here and now, meaning right now, right here. He wants you to begin to change. You know what repentance is? Repentance, the definition, is the change of your mind, of your thoughts. That's what John the Baptist was crying out. How many in this room want to be like under the spirit of John the Baptist? I do. Proclaiming, prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ is returning. And there's a whole wilderness as soon as you walk out of that door right there. Start proclaiming it. letting people know he's coming, he's coming. Change your thinking about how you're living. Some say after the pressures of life settle down and things change a little bit, then I'll start loving God the way I need to love him. As soon as we do this, then we'll start. When the pressures change and all the trials, I'm in a trial right now, so as soon as I get through this, man, I'm going to start loving God. No, start now. Start right in the midst of the pressure and allow his love to captivate you. Who knows? The pressure may cease much quicker if you begin to move in his love. Wholehearted abandonment onto the things of the Lord. Don't wait for better circumstances to love him. Just let whatever expression you have be released onto him in love. Don't limit, again, I said this earlier, but don't limit loving God to activities. The traditional things that are considered to be spiritual in the past, if you get to this point, you know. I remember when I first got saved, and man, if I could just become a bus pastor, that'd be it. And when I became a bus pastor, I thought I had arrived. And then it was, man, if I could become a youth pastor, that'd be it. When I became a youth pastor, I arrived. Guess what? I didn't arrive anywhere. I really didn't. The Lord used me. But I'll go back and tell you that none of that really mattered if I wasn't walking in the love of God. If I wasn't beginning to go deeper in the things of the love of God. See, in the love of God, you begin to get a root system that is so much more powerful than anything, any meeting, anything. You get a root system of faith. You get a root system of hope. You know what hope means? It means certainty. That you are certain about the things of God because the love of God has manifested in your life and you know that he loves you. And you're allowing him to love you. And so you go deep in the things of the Lord through God's love. And God can do so much. I've said this over and over. God can do so much in 10 minutes or 10 days than you could try to accomplish in 10 years. Because of the power and the love and the Spirit of God. You can turn things upside down at your workplace. You can turn things upside down at your school. I've heard this. Then do it. Do it through the love of God, for the love of God. Just release it and say, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be a lover. And I want to walk in your love. I don't want to walk in religion. I don't want to walk in anybody's desires for me. I want to walk in you, Lord, and what you have. Be passionate about the things of the Lord. Let him stir you. Let him burn things up in you. You know, when we come in here, it takes us a while to get going, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It takes a little while. Now we're worshiping a little bit. I think sometimes we need to come in here and just have a shouting time for about 5 or 10 minutes to get it all out of us so we can begin to enter into worship. Not through hype, not through, just release. When we release the shout, when we release the love of God, when we release our praise, and it's different for everybody. But if it's motivated from a place of love, he loves it. He enjoys it. Oh, Otis can play some hot licks on that guitar. I enjoy hearing him. I love when he prophesies. But if Otis isn't playing from a position of love, it's just hot licks. Sorry, Otis, didn't mean to pick on you. I don't know why I did that. You're too big to hit me, I think. That's why. But do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to make a point here, and maybe it's over and over, but I would say, do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? Did you get it? Let me say, get it? Let's try that again. Get it? Okay. Your number one assignment is loving God. And again, even in the mundane or the ordinary, keep loving him. Jesus, again, revealed this. In his 30-year stay on the earth, he revealed the value of the ordinary. This is God. And he embraced the common life for 30 years. When we begin, you might want to write some of this down if you can, or you can get it online. When we begin to understand the way God views our life and our love for him, we become encouraged. Because he is so good and he is so kind in moving us forward. And I got to say this, the fact that you are even trying to love God in a small way, He loves it. He loves it. And it brings God's glory into your life, the goodness. And many times it's hidden from the natural eyes. You don't see all that's going on around you. But when you truly love God, there's a lot going on around you. Paul calls us to see, the Apostle Paul calls us to see and rejoice that our weak lives are anchored in the love of God and in His glory. We are to rejoice in this instead of despising our life as a failure. Never draw back. Never say my life is a failure. When you have God, you have hope. And when you have hope, you have certainty that He's going to be with you. And He will be with you. So I encourage you tonight, wherever your influence is, keep saying yes to the things of the Lord. If you would, go ahead and turn to Romans. I'm going to go through this pretty quick. If you look at Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11, we're kind of going to read through it a little bit. And this is also going to help you a little bit in understanding some things that Paul was trying to communicate to us about the glory of God and how we're to rejoice in it. And so we're going to stand in His grace and rejoice in the things of the Lord. Chapter 5, Romans, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That scripture right there, you will not have peace any other way except through your Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into grace, in which we stand. We stand in grace. We stand and we exalt. Another word for exalt is rejoice. So we stand in the grace by faith in God, moving forward, and we rejoice in hope. And what is hope? Hope is confidence and certainty. So there it is. Through whom also, we read again, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, we rejoice in confidence and certainty of the glory of God, the goodness of God. And not only this, but we also exalt or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about what? Perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. Hope, confidence, and certainty. And confidence and certainty does not disappoint us. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through what? The Holy Spirit, who was given to us, living in us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even die. But God demonstrates His own love toward each and every one of us. When we were sinners, no good, He demonstrates His love. So it doesn't matter how weak you are, no matter what situation you are, He will demonstrate His love to you, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him, through Jesus. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And verse 11, and not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation from the Lord. Amen. It's good stuff. So we stand in the grace with confidence that God accepts us, but God also, He enjoys us. He enjoys us. And we stand, and we want to stand without compromise as we seek to walk in our assignment, our number one assignment. That's what this is all about. We seek God. We refuse condemnation, and we refuse compromise. We get to the place where I refuse condemnation. I will not receive that from people anymore or from any spirits, and I won't compromise. Paul makes 3 surprising statements in this scripture instructing us how to stand strong in God's grace. Number 1, and it's in verse 2. through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope for the glory of the Lord. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When God begins to see our weak efforts, no matter how weak they are, God's glory begins to show up. His goodness, we can't see it, but it begins to show up within our life because we're expressing our love for Him. And then God begins to express His glory around us. And our lives become successful in the ways of God, in God's eyes. In verse 3 and 5, rejoicing in tribulation. I won't read it again, but we just read it. Rejoicing in tribulation. Instead of quitting and living in despair, we rejoice in tribulation. Instead of quitting and living in despair, whatever you're going through, we rejoice in the trials and tribulation. We're an odd bunch. In verse 11, when you kind of close it out, rejoicing in God by engaging deeply with God in our intimacy and our relationship. Again, the word hope is often interchangeable for confidence and certainty, that we have the confidence and the certainty to walk this out. Confidence in the hope that our lives are anchored not only in the love of God, but the glory of God. What's the glory of the Lord? The goodness of God. So tonight, that's what I want to pray about. Michael, I want you to come up. That's what I want you to pray about. Tonight, I want to pray that tonight will be a night that you begin to embrace like you never have in your whole life. Or maybe you're returning to your first love, your divine assignment by God. And your divine assignment by God is to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's that simple. Don't try to go to 1,000 people to tell you what you need to be doing for God when the prophetic word of God is right here for you to grab onto. It's right here. Grab hold onto this. Now, you don't need an interpretation for that, do you? I don't. It just says to love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I know I have some dying to do and some brokenness to take place and to say yes even more than I ever have. And to know that even in my weak moments, that He's happy that I'm still saying yes. He's happy that you're still saying yes. He's happy that you showed up here tonight. He's happy that you didn't watch this new program on TV tonight, which takes you down another path and begins to rock you to sleep. Baby, that's what the world's doing, doing everything it possibly can to get you away. And oh, you guys are the wild ones. You guys are the heretics. You guys are the dogmatic ones. You guys are the ones that are causing all the problem. You Jesus freaks. You Jesus freaks, you. Good. Because that's who we are. And you don't have to worry about how big or small your church is. You don't have to worry. You need to know that the King of Glory is coming. And He's coming after you because you are His beloved bride. And He is not going to shrink back from it. Please don't get bitter about the things they say about Jesus. You know why? Because His words were this: Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How could He say that? Because He was anchored in the Father's love. If you're not anchored in the love of God, it says that the very elect will even fall down a slippery slope of offense. When God's judgments begin to, and they're going to be complex, and they begin to happen on the earth, and you don't understand because you haven't anchored yourself in the love of God, and then you get offended at Him, realize this: His love is His judgments. Because He's judging evil. And He's judging everything that hinders His love on the planet. He has to do it. It's who He is. But blessed are you, Jesus said, who don't become offended at me in the days to come. You are a warrior. You are an overcomer. You are a lover. Look at yourself the way Jesus looks at you and believe again and have hope again. No matter where you stumbled, no matter what your struggle is, just a little weakness of saying, I love you, moves his heart. Don't resign yourself of allowing people to move your heart in relationships. When it's of God, it's good. But resign yourself of allowing God to move your heart. God gave me a mother that loved me, and she loved me in such a way I knew nobody could love me like that woman loved me. Nobody could put up with the things she put up with and still love me. And she wasn't even saved. But she got saved. She got saved by who? By love. And now I know. I know. And you need to know. That no one is going to love you like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one. No one. This is all about a relationship from the beginning to end. Read this from a relationship perspective, not from a doctrinal perspective. This is all about relationship. So let me ask you something. How can you have, I ask myself this in the mirror, how can I have a good relationship if I don't have a relationship with my divine assignment, my number one assignment? If I don't have a relationship, how am I ever going to have a good relationship? How can I really have a relationship without being a man of prayer? Because that's communication. So if I don't pray, how am I going to get in communication with him so I can begin to have a relationship with others? So I can be quickened in a moment to do something small and move God's heart. It's all relationship. It always will be. So you break it down, however you got to break it down, and you make sure that you begin to build and work. I say work, I mean kind of discipline yourself to have time to be with him. He'll take a little, he'll take a lot. It moves his heart. Get it? All right, let's stand. Okay, Lord, I just pray that all distractions would stop right now. We just come before you. In a simple way, and say, Lord, will you help us as we say yes to our most important assignment, to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Will you help us to rejoice? Holy Spirit, will you touch people in this place tonight and seal this moment in time as a benchmark, as a moment when you begin to shift things in our heart?